Welcome to Watch Talk Across the Pond podcast.
This is number one, our very first podcast.
Perfect. I'm excited to do it. I'm excited for this podcast to get going. How about we introduce ourselves?
Yeah, that's a really good idea, Bill. I tell you what, though, let's do a twist. You introduce me in an English accent, and I'll introduce you in an American accent.
Like a British accent? You want me to do a British accent?
Yeah, right. British, yeah. Is it going to sound British or is it going to sound Australian?
It's going to be a mixture of both.
Okay,
right, here we go.
Go for it, yeah.
All right, mate. All right. Yeah. This is my buddy. This is my mate Dean. He's from Nottingham. He's on One to Watch. His channel is One to Watch. I can't do a British accent, I don't think. Let's see. Hello, this is Dean from One to Watch. Welcome to Watch Talk Across the Pond.
Okay, so I think I'll do you. So, I am Bill. I'm an American, and I'm not a watch snob. I wear Hawaiian shirts, and I'm just really love watches. What have you been up to this morning?
Honestly, just got up, chilling. I took the day off, so I'm happy about that. And just getting ready for school. School's coming up, and I have to bust out some videos, so I don't have to worry about videos on top of school.
Yeah. Oh, nice. What's the sort of subject you're doing at school?
I'm a communication major.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah, it sounds
so
good.
I like it. This is sort of in my field, like editing definitely. Videos and making them and stuff. So
that makes
resume
sense.
Builder.
Yeah. Makes sense. What's your mind? Do you do a minor as well in America? You like a major and then?
My minor is going to be in theater.
Oh, brilliant.
So
it
didn't work out like that. Like I never was a theater major in high school or anything. I thought it was like the stupidest thing. But then I get to college and I'm like, oh, this is going to be an easy thing. Mm. So I went and took it, then ended up just having a minor, and I took so many acting classes.
Mm. Mm. It sounds really good.
It's crazy. I've been so lucky throughout my college experience where it hasn't been challenging at all, which is scary. Like in America, some teachers are just so easy. Like I'll just go to them and be like, yeah, that grade doesn't seem too right. And they're like, okay, yeah, let's change it to an A. I'm like, sweet. Like,
wow. I don't do that with my students.
Good. Yeah. No, it's
definitely get that on camera.
Kids like me.
I'll definitely get that on camera in case any of my managers end up watching it.
Yeah. Brilliant. I got so lucky.
Yeah. No, brilliant. So, just before I came on to talk to you, I switched my phone off just to reboot to make sure in case I needed to use it as a camera. I put it back on and I got an email, a watch I'd literally put on eBay about 30 hours ago. Someone's actually, I'd had last night, nobody had bought it. That was after about a day. So I changed it to give them the option of actually they can make offers. And somebody has put an offer in. So quite excited a bit later on to put my counter offer in and see if I can get as much as I want for the watch.
I
think they're allowed to put three offers in. So I counter, they count, so he knocks it down, say £60. I go up another, £30 and he goes in between again. And, between the two, we might settle on it.
Have you ever used Chrono 24?
No, I haven't. I know it's one of the big watch sites, but no,
it's
I haven't.
Basically the eBay. Mm. It's basically that eBay of just watches.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
You can do that too. You like when you see a watch you like, you go, and then you email them. You say, hey, I want to buy it for this amount. Yeah. And they'll be like, well, taxes, it's this amount. No. Fight on that.
And I think it's isn't it one of the biggest sellers of watches?
It's up there for used
most
watches.
Most get sold through that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The good thing about eBay is there's a lot of people who are like just watch enthusiasts versus watch like experts.
Like
when you put a watch up, some people will be snobby about it and be like, oh, why would you do that? You know what I'm saying?
Well, I just think in this hobby, everyone's their own, everyone's got their own, how much they want to spend, what sort of watches they like, what they could, I think you just got to leave people to their own, haven't you, really? And we can all enjoy it. If we all liked exactly the same thing, it'd be pretty rubbish, wouldn't it? We'd all be after the same watch and all the watches, all the other watches, like nobody would want. It just wouldn't make...
It'd be like those fake Submariners, those homage Submariners that have been produced by micro brands.
Yeah, well, I think it's like, if you think about it with cars, like everybody has different cars, don't they? You watch cars come across. Every car is different color, different brand, different make. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because we're all different people. And yep. That's why we all like different watches, you know. So I think that's where it's at, you know.
I wish they still made cars as funky as they did in like the 60s, 70s.
Yeah.
You know, imagine that. Like nowadays cars are kind of like bland looking.
Yeah, you know? E-Type Jag.
Oh, that's nice too.
They've
yeah.
got a lot of them, you know. In I think probably I'm guessing you're under your East Coast, aren't you?
Yeah. West Coast. I've seen a lot of the E-Type Jags. You know, Jeremy Clarkson did a great review of that car where he got all the bells and whistles. It had like a cooler. You could put your drinks in. Like it was like crazy. Like you could adjust the height of your car. Oh my God, it was amazing. Yeah. Awesome.
Anyway, what are you wearing today? We should do a wristwatch check.
I'm wearing my Bulova Accutron.
Oh, wow. That's the new one you've got, isn't it?
Yeah,
That's the retro that you did a video on.
Yep.
Oh, I like it. That's gold.
Yeah, it's gold. And here, let me get it up to the camera a little
bit. And it's got LCD display.
Yep. LED display. And
And it's 1146 where you are.
I know, right? Isn't that crazy? 1146. Oh.
That is lovely. Just great. The actual bracelet really tapers and things. And it's got a really good retro looking strap.
It really does. And I love the look of the bracelet under certain light. Just really, you know.
And that. I think it was your video, wasn't it, that showed that it shows the time. So in such a position that it's to do when you're driving your sports car and things.
Yeah. So when you're driving, like with one hand on the wrist, you can just go like this and see the time.
Yeah,
which is pretty cool.
And the advert at the time was this really cool guy driving a sports car, looking at the side. And then some guy on a cycle pulls up next to him who's got shades on, and they look at each other and they're equally cool. And then he looks at his watch as well.
Yep, and they have something in common, like some little like hipster nerd versus a, you know.
Oh, great. I just love that. That's great.
Yeah.
There's another brand that do, what's the French brand that do? Oh, Yema. Yeah, Yema have got something a bit similar to that I've looked at and thought about getting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, excellent.
I forget what it's called too, but I remember seeing the ads for the Yema. That is nice.
Yeah. It's really nice.
How about you? What are you wearing?
So I've actually got my Boulder Expedition on.
Ooh, I was watching your video this morning. Yeah. I was just refreshing myself. That Boulder is so nice.
And I've worn lots of straps on it. It's a real strap monster. The strap it came on, the green rubber it came on is excellent. Really thick and excellent. Really sort of, you know, nice to wear and, you know, not stiff or anything. But this is a nylon leatherback Christopher Ward strap.
Oh, wow.
And I mean, ages ago, they did some sort of ceramic watch, which had this strap on. And I bought the watch, but I didn't keep it. I really love the strap. And then eventually, I think in one of their sales that they have twice a year, I bought a couple of these, one in black, this one, and one in a sort of greeny color. And I've never found anything that this strap works with. The green one, the other one I've used on a few different watches. Mm-hmm. And now I honestly think that this strap really works on this watch.
That's beautiful.
And it's not quick release or anything. So we just tend to mainly leave it on there. And the green one, which I've got on the Alpinist, they absolutely last forever. These straps do. They're just so good. You know, if you ever get these nylon leatherback straps in a Christopher Ward sale, just buy loads of them. They're just so good. But not that you need to for yourself, because they'll last forever.
Yeah.
But I really like this watch because instead of it having the sort of diver's bezel, it's got the internal bezel. So you can just wear any strap.
Oh, I like
that.
You've
got leather on it, because I'm a little bit funny like that. I know a lot of people now, more and more so, are putting like leather straps on the diver watches.
Yeah, it's becoming a new trend.
I just can't get into that. I can do anything but leather. I can have it on a bracelet. I can have it on a rubber. I can have it on a nylon. But I think with this watch, I can put the leather on. You know, it just looks good with everything.
Well, I've been putting that waterproof leather. Have you ever heard about the waterproof leather straps?
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah, Christopher Ward, again, used to make some of them ones. Yeah,
that's. I like those. Those are pretty nice because they dry like instantly versus that wet, soggy feeling of you know, leather.
Yeah, no, definitely.
So I like how your anti-reflective coating on that watch is like really shows the blue and stuff under the light. It's nice.
It's a really good watch, actually. But enough, the I think what the earlier video I actually made for the Boulder Expedition, mm-hmm. the 1 week on the rest, there was a chap who'd actually commented on that video a couple of days ago. And he was like, oh, you know, I've got a bit of a smaller wrist than you. Will it still work? And we'd done a lot of to and fro and messages. And anyway, eventually he was convinced, you know, and then he didn't say what size wristwatch, but his wrist was, but it was just under 7 inches. Said, oh, just go for it. It'll be absolutely fine with that size. And anyway, and then he showed me he was going to buy this new, I think it was called Sennheiser or something, which is, it's kind of similar to that, but it's got almost like an orange for the mm-hmm. indices and numbers and things, and hands and everything. And then it actually, the loom is actually really bright. Is very orange.
Oh wow!
And and the case is black, like some sort of PVD black, and it looks absolutely fantastic. And I'd sort of seen it before, but not really give it a lot of thought. And then just by having this conversation about it with this, and this guy suddenly says, oh, yeah, he told me which to get. And so I thought, oh, I'll look it up before I reply to him. And then I looked it up and I just replied to him and said, oh, that is absolutely fine. I love that. And I thought, I almost want to go out and buy another one because it's such a great watch. And then that one, which is very, you know, almost similar to this, but just orange. And it's almost like you wouldn't think it would work being sort of all black. Black case and everything, and then almost orange in season, but it looks absolutely brilliant. It really does look good. So that is something I'm kind of thinking, oh, I'll mind that at some point in time. So I don't know. Sometimes you almost have to sell what you've got and then you just go out and buy one in a different color or something.
I've actually never done that before. I've always just, you know, I see something I like, I grab it, or I have to sell something that I am not using too often.
Well, I did it with I bought the Seiko Samurai, and mm-hmm. I bought the I can't remember what they call it now, but the one where it's like blue. I think it was a Save the Ocean, so it was mm-hmm. blue and it had almost like this wave, and I really, you know, the blue and it sort of in the light it caught it. It looked like the sea. It was really brilliant. But what I didn't like is that one of them dials. I think they call it like a gradient where it gets darker. Mm-hmm. towards the bottom. And so the idea was is that I believe that the sea gets darker as you go down in depth, obviously.
Yeah, in depth, yeah.
And so, but what it was almost like two-thirds of it was this lovely, most gorgeous blue, and the bottom mm-hmm. third, it wasn't like gradually, it was just like dark, and it was almost like a different colour. And I just, you know, almost loved it, but I just didn't like this gradient thing. So mm-hmm. I sold the watch. And now I've gone out and bought another one in totally different colours and things. Mm-hmm. But I must admit, I do look back sometimes at photos of me wearing that watch and sometimes think, oh, you know, did I do the right thing? I think the watch just looks great. You know, just the wave, the way it used to catch the light. But I just didn't like it often mm-hmm. when in certain lights, you could just see the darkness of that bottom third, mm-hmm. the gradient thing. And I just didn't like it.
I'm looking at a Seiko Samurai myself, I think. I think that might be my next get, like, you know, if I...
Really good. Yeah. I mean, I've had a Turtle, I had the Blue Lagoon, which I sold a few days ago, mm-hmm. and I had that 18 months, and it was a lovely watch, and, you know, the colour of it with the little yellow bits. Mm-hmm. But I didn't... I think prefer the Samurai.
How much do they go for the Samurais?
Yeah, I just prefer that, you know, it's just got that real... modern futuristic shape, and I think it's just to me it's just the image of a samurai, you know.
Yeah,
when you see the sort of YouTube videos and you can see all those samurai, and it's just the cool, it's just so cool, isn't it? A samurai,
it is really cool.
What could be cooler than that?
How much do they go for roughly?
You can pick them up to anywhere between in our money about $315 to about $415, depending on what it is.
Okay.
And then I think they've got a slightly new one out, and it has the sapphire crystal, and I'm trying to think if there's anything else different with it. There's just a few upgrades, and that mm-hmm. that's perhaps another £100, £150 on top of that.
Oh wow, okay.
But I must admit, for the new Samurai ones, I didn't think there was any other colorways that I really liked. I think mm-hmm. so you'd probably pick up a second-hand one. Just under, in English money, £300, which is what, about $390, is it, in American dollars?
Yeah.
Guessing.
Yeah.
But I mean, I got a feeling sometimes the watches are slightly cheap in America. So you'd probably pick a secondhand one up under, really good condition, 1 year old, under about $350, I would have thought.
That's not too bad.
So,
I'm definitely looking into it. Yeah.
Yeah, they're good. I've got the Samurai, I've got the Paddy with the orange hand, and it's got that lovely, glossy, sort of zigzaggy sort of effect on the dial, which sometimes it just looks black, and other times if it catches the light. So you find yourself constantly moving the watch around to try and catch the light.
So you can look at it, yeah.
It's quite a nice one, that the pad is. It's almost like they tend to. I mean, the alignment and everything is perfect. It's almost like the pad is. They tend to take a bit more care for some reason. You know what I mean? They. I've not heard many people say that they've had a problem with the pad is. The other thing with that paddy and my Blue Lagoon Turtle, they both ran within about plus 1 to 2 seconds a day.
Okay.
Perfect alignment. And that was the only problem. When you get watches like that, if you sort of want to move on from them, you've already enjoyed them, but you're ready to maybe try something else, it's very difficult when you get, I've got, this watch, perfect alignment, and you think, I'm probably going to go out and buy a new watch, and it's probably going to be like 10 seconds fast or slow. And, even though it's different and it's just a nice new watch, and you think, but, I almost want the one back that was just like really accurate, and you know what I mean?
Yeah. What got you into watches?
I think I've always worn a watch, like for work. I was never knew anything about them, had any interest throughout most of my life, but I always had a sort of watch that I would wear daily for work, and I'd have a better watch that I would wear when I went out.
Mm-hmm.
But now looking back, the sort of watch I'd wear for work would be a sort of, £50 quartz. And what I would think was the best watch would probably be a £75 sort of quartz watch, And back then I'd probably, I would be absolutely, if I'd lost one of them watches, I'd be terrified that I'd lost something really precious and valuable. You know what I mean? But they were just like, and my them watches, I mean, what I consider to be my best watch, it was some Japanese make. It was I can't think of the make, but I'd had it for like 20 years. It was like brand new, and most people, it was just like worthless, But yeah. I just didn't realize that. And then when I got into it, I sort of almost give it away the day after, like, I now realize this is worthless and it's really old, and I just gave it away. I probably wish I hadn't.
There's nothing that sparked the interest though, like that, like you just one day were like, I'm gonna start getting into this watches, or I'm gonna start,
I tell you what it was. I think when I was browsing on the internet, for some reason, you sort of get adverts, you get plagued by adverts coming on your screen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think once or twice, very clever, I got these sort of, I think it was Christopher Ward actually, I got these Christopher Ward ones, and it worked because I found myself starting to look at the Christopher Ward website, and I learned a lot. I learned that there was different types of watches. There was diver watches and there was motorsport watches, and I learned a lot. And I was looking at them, and then I'd learned the difference between a quartz and ordinary, and just by really looking at their watches, and I actually, when I started looking at their website, I thought, I'm never gonna be able to buy one. They're like really expensive. I thought, like, anything over £100 is ridiculous for a watch, And and this is like about 6 years ago, and I'm looking at their watches, and they're like £700 for a watch, the diver watch. And I thought, oh, it's amazing. Like the bezel turns around, and you can go in water to up to 600 meters. All I wanted then was to, I want one of these watches, but they're like £750. And then, so I kept looking at them every so often. This went on for a few months. And then in the sort of December, January, I didn't realise then, they just had this sale on, and these watches were off price. And I thought,
you're kidding me.
Shall I ask your answer? So I got my first, debatable first, because I'd actually sort of swapped a watch with a guy at work about 2 days before it arrived, but I'd actually purchased my first automatic watch, which was this Christopher Ward C60, which you bought for, I think it was something like £335. And when that came...
Automatic too?
Yeah, automatic.
Oh, shoot.
And yeah, it was their C60. And I sort of, you know, I remember walking over the park with a few friends and, you know, and they'll say, oh, what's this new watch you've been on about? Blah, blah, blah. You know, oh, you know, they'd got these sort of very cheap, sort of like £20 watches they just picked up from a supermarket. And I showed them, they went, oh, it is really nice. Yeah. And I sort of, you know, I couldn't really go wrong because I got it at a good price. But I'd got, as soon as it arrived, I opened it and I thought, this is absolutely amazing. I got blown away. And I thought, I've so got to keep this watch. Uh-huh. You know, it's so fantastic. And I thought, but it's cost £335. I don't know if I dare keep it. I've got 6 days to return it. This is just insane. I don't think I better keep this. And, you know, anyway, I kind of at the same time knew I was going to keep it. And then I think I had it for about 3 years. But oh, wow. I think in the end, because it had, I tried to get the one with the black dial and black bezel, but I just couldn't get it. And I think at the time there was a choice of the sort of black case instead of silver case. So I think I'll go the standard silver case. And it was a white dial with a black bezel. And I don't know, I just suddenly after that, about 2.5 years, I thought, this watch is just so black and white, I want a bit of colour. Mm. And I just, that thought came to me, head, and I just sold it about the day after. And I've pretty much regretted it ever since. I just suddenly thought, I saw a photo of it and thought, oh, this is just so black and white, I just need a bit of colour. I want to watch more colour. And just sold it. I want a blue watch. So, you know, I want a blue lagoon. And just sold it. That's what I'm like. I just, you know, I just suddenly think, oh, I'm fed up with that and sell it. And then I'll probably regret it afterwards.
Your seller's regret instead of buyer's remorse.
So what got you into the hobby of watching? How long have you been sort of interested?
ADHD got me into it. So like I was a little pain in the butt kid in class. And one day I got a watch. It was a Timex from my grandfather. He passed away. I didn't really know him as my dad's dad. Mm. And I started like watching the seconds go around and calm myself down. And I thought it was kind of cool. Mm. So then my grandfather, who lives with me now, then gave me his watch and goes, this is an old Omega. Have fun with it.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, sweet. So I had this Omega and that's what kind of sparked my interest.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's what
and my dad kind of likes watches. He's like into it, but he's not like into it as much as I am.
Yeah.
So like that was me and my dad's like little hobby going around looking at watches.
Well, I'll tell you what, I think we've got some questions. Should we just shoot a few questions?
Of course, I'd love that. Yeah.
Definitely. The first one was favorite watch in your own collection and in my collection. That's for you.
All right. So the favorite watch in my collection happens to be my Zodiac Grand Rally.
I really
like my Zodiac Grand Rally. I think that gunmetal face and it's like the reverse panda is gorgeous. Yeah. I love my Zodiac. And it just like, it had like some hidden talents in it. Like had some hidden features. Like you could adjust the strap without needing tools. It's toolless adjustment. Oh, it was really nice.
Yeah. That's always good for strap changes. Yeah, definitely.
And my favorite for yours is Samurai. Oh my God, the Seiko Samurai was gorgeous.
Yeah, yeah.
Love your Seiko Samurai.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. Grand Rally?
The Grand Rally, yep.
Your Grand Rally, you bought that watch, you made a video, I watched your video, thought that, I really like that. I actually remembered that a friend of mine who I actually have bought a few watches off before, I'd got one for sale. I went to look it up. I couldn't quite negotiate the right price for it. And then the other thing was, I remembered you saying that you could pick them up for a really cheap, a certain price. Yep. And that was a lot cheaper than get for over it, but it was in America. Uh-huh. And so what I did, I tried to sort of go on some you know, English sites, where they said, you know, if you see one cheaper, we'll try and match. So I said, well, you know, I've got this price, but they said, oh, yeah, well, that's American. We're not going to match that. And they just wouldn't knock hardly anything off. And so I debated whether to, you know, get one from America. And I'm thinking, well, by the time I've paid tax and I've paid this, that, and the other, and went back to the shop and I knew that was selling it, still couldn't negotiate. I don't think his was quite the colorway that I wanted as well.
Yeah.
And it was a bit frustrating because I'd have been buying his 2-year-old watch for Even if I'd imported the one from America and paid tax and everything else, mm-hmm. that still would have been cheaper than what he was selling. and to cut a long story short, in the end, I just got nowhere and thought, well, I'll leave it for now. And sometimes when you like leave things, and I kind of think to myself, it's not meant to be at the minute. Mm-hmm. And what happens eventually is one will probably just come my way at the right price and the right color.
You are right about that. Like, there's some watches where I'm like, oh, I really, really want that. Mm. And I'm like maybe I'm thinking about trying to scrape together the funds. And I'm like, you know, when I'm older, there'll be other times this thing will come around, you know?
Yeah. I think one thing I've learned in this hobby, but I suppose in life as well, sometimes there's a right time. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I just think, well, you know, I've made all this effort. I can't see the watch in the color for the price I want. Mm-hmm. Leave it. And just sometime in the future, if that's meant to be, mm-hmm. the right color, the right price, it'll come up. And I'm ready for it because I know about the watch now.
Exactly.
Interestingly, along that lines, is yesterday, I'm in the bath. I've got my tablet, my little tablet. I tend to watch YouTube videos and things, but I go on Facebook and I go onto one of the sites and I watch I really like was the Nodus Retrospect 2. Mm-hmm. And they've got this one in, it's called Salmon Sky. Ooh. Salmon. And it's got a blue second hand.
Uh-huh.
And but I like it with they do a silver bezel or a black bezel. Stainless steel bezel or black. I like the black bezel. And literally in the bath, somebody had put it on this site and it'd only been on a few minutes and it was selling it. I'm selling this, anyone interested? And so I sort of, on this tablet, my old tablet that I'm happy to take in the bath, it doesn't matter about it. I'd clicked on send message and I think, okay, it's going to come from America. It's going to be awkward, but it doesn't matter. I thought, I'll see how much you're selling it for. Click message. And it says, you need to download Messenger. So we started to download Messenger. And I hadn't got such a good signal in the bathroom from where the Wi-Fi is downstairs. So it's taking ages. And I must admit, I just sat there and thought, well, it's not meant to be. And then I kind of went out of my mind. And then like an hour later, I'll go back on. If nobody's sort of, you know, gone for it, then I'll see how much it is. I went on and one person sent a message through saying how much it'd gone, $300, which I thought, well, that's a really good price. And this person had then put like, oh, you know, I've just sent you a private message. I thought, oh, that's gone. So I was just like thinking, oh my God, you know, the right watch came at the right time. I'm sure this is meant to be. I'm just going on Facebook at the right time. I can send them a message. I'm sure I can be the first one to get that watch. And lo and behold, I couldn't because I was trying to download Messenger because he wouldn't let me send him a message, private message. I suppose if I'd actually replied through Facebook and said, like, I'm interested, can you save that for me? And then I tried to send him a private message afterwards, then it might have been okay. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, again, I suppose, sometimes it's that thing where you regret not buying. Maybe I should have just jumped straight out of the bath and gone and you know, got drying onto my actual computer and just you know what I mean?
Yeah, then, exactly.
I don't know. I've reached that stage where I'm a big believer now that it wasn't meant to be. And I think, well, I'm just going to enjoy my bath and, you know, I'll get out when I'm ready. And usually it's on my mind, but strangely, you know, things are on my mind. I didn't even think about it till now is time. So
yeah, I feel you.
It is what it is, really.
I think that this, you know, the good thing about this hobby of like making watch videos is that it makes me not think about buying and selling too many watches. Cause like usually my mind's thinking about what next video as opposed to being like, oh, what am I going to buy right now?
Yeah,
which is good. It keeps me away from spending too much.
Yeah. What is our next question? It's biggest regrets. There's three parts here. And I'll just go through them. And then, so there was a owned and sold, bought and didn't like, didn't buy. So what's your biggest regret for owned and sold?
I got two. One of them is that I traded my grandfather's watch. It was an Omega.
Mm.
And it was an old 50s Omega. I traded it for a broken tag here. Dumbest decision ever.
Mm.
And but I just got it back, so I'm happy about that. Oh, wow. It's in the shop right now. Oh. I tracked it down, got it back, and it's just getting fixed in the shop. And then the next one is giving my Weltham pocket watch away. It was from like the 1800s. It was so cool. For like a 30 rack of beer when I was 17.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was stupid.
I think for me, owned and sold was pretty early on, I think. You know, but I saw, I collected about 6 years ago. I got the it was secondhand, I got it at a really good price, was the Bulova Moon watch.
Oh yeah.
And I mean, that's just such an excellent watch. It's I think from what I remember, it's a quartz, but it's one of them that's like accurate within something like 10 seconds a year. So it's a very accurate, it's a sort of very high beat sort of quartz, very accurate high beat. I sort of pulse rate. And what it was, I think it doesn't go tick, 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 tick. Mm-hmm. It goes every 2 seconds.
Oh, wow. There's
a movement every two, it's like a movement every 2 seconds, which is very different. Mm-hmm. And then the chronograph has actually got a really, because it's got such a high sort of beat rate, when you do the chronograph, it's just like an automatic.
Oh, wow.
And it's just great. And again, you can put loads of different straps, and it's a real strap monster. It's got a history, because, you know, it was one of the watches that went on the moon. Yep. You know, I mean, it's a great watch. Everything's really good about it. But the only thing is, it's 45 millimeters, and the lugs are quite, you know, not over long. It's got relatively short lugs, but it still is quite, it wears quite large, and it's debatable. I could never decide if it was that little bit too big or not. And I think one fine day I just probably looked at a photo of myself with it on and thought, too big, sold it. And then I've probably regretted it ever since. And I always think, God, you know, if they could just bring that same watch out, you know, like 43 millimeters, I would just buy it straight away. The other thing was, I didn't buy it on a bracelet, and I just wondered sometimes if I would. And I think it was different. I couldn't just then buy the bracelet for it or anything, because the lugs that were drilled differently. So if you bought one for the strap, you couldn't put the bracelet on it and things like that.
Oh, that's awful.
It is really strange. And I sort of thought, well, it would be nice sometimes to put it on bracelet, you know, the one on the bracelet. But I do believe that some people claim that the one on the bracelet colour didn't quite match the case colour.
Oh, really?
Apparently. So I think if they could bring that out in, say, 43 instead of 45 millimeter diameter, with a little bit shorter lug length and things, and they could get the bracelet to match the case, I think, I'd buy it straight away. You know, I wouldn't hesitate. The minute they released that, I would buy it. And I think that would be, I think, you know, a lot of people get put off because it's just a bit too big.
Yeah.
A lot of people. But I think that would sell really well. So I think for mine, owned and sold, my biggest owned and sold is even though I still think it's a bit big, I sometimes would probably just still like it just because it's just a great watch.
Mm-hmm.
The next one for you, Bill, is bought and didn't like.
So Casio, that's my biggest one. I bought the Casio because everyone always hypes up that company. Oh my God, Casio's this, Casio that. And I wanted to try it. Just felt cheap. Everyone's like, oh, it's bang for buck. I spent like, what, $12 on it. And I felt like I got a $12 watch. Like, didn't feel like anything special.
Yeah. I think for me, I couldn't even give you names now, but I bought a couple of like quite cheapish quartz watches because I like the look of them. But I've just I might sound a bit of a snob here. It's very rarely. I think with quartz, it has to be something a bit different, like the Bulova. It has to be really accurate, or it has to have something has to be a bit different about quartz for me. Just a standard quartz, I'm not always so keen on. But unless it's got a having said that, if it's a chronograph, just like the small one of the small dials has got the quartz, is probably, you know, I think with chronograph it's probably okay because one thing about a chronograph, you really want accuracy, so that really makes sense to have a quartz anyway. And if you buy an automatic chronograph, you're going to spend a fortune when you have to service it and things. So it does make sense for a chronograph in particular, but I've bought a couple of almost fashion light watches thinking, oh, you know, look quite nice when I go out, a bit dressed up. Mm-hmm. And they've just been a bit like Daniel Wellington. They've been a bit sort of very fashion.
Well, it's been really great talking to you anyway, Bill. I've really enjoyed that. And yeah, let's not leave it too long before we do the next one.
This was Watch Talk Across the Pond. Thank you very much for tuning in. Enjoy.